people see Christian maturity as I don't mess up a lot like I used to. I see it differently. Maturity is when you see others before you see yourself. That's what 1 Corinthians 8 is about. It's an encouragement to live the Christian life wider and bigger. And by that, Paul means that our decisions and lives are to help others grow. How I parent, how I treat my wife, what I do with my free time, what I listen to what I watch is not just about me, but it's to be an example to others. A.W. Tozer said this, "There are rare Christians whose very presence incites others to be better Christians. I want to be that rare Christian." At our church, we have 4 services every Sunday, each with the same message. One of our elders had a conversation with me one Sunday when I wasn't preaching, but was at each service since I was participating. His words both encouraged and inspired me. At our Sunday evening service, he said to me, "I can't believe the way you listened to that sermon. Wasn't this the 4th time you heard it today?" "Yes," I said. "You look like you never heard it before," he said. "You sat on the edge of your seat, took notes as if it was the first time you ever heard that sermon." What I learned from that interaction was this: 1, people are watching our lives, and 2, we can inspire others unknowingly by those actions. I chose to take notes. I chose to be excited 4 times. I chose to sit on the edge of my seat and put myself in the posture of a learner. I just forgot that it could be an example for someone else. I realized that a good example is more powerful than a good sermon. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul is showing us this same principle, but from a different standpoint, but still with the power of influencing others. He speaks about the freedom that Christians have, though we must be careful if our freedom trips up someone newer and weaker in the faith. The challenge Paul gives us is that it isn't for them to step it up. It's for me to take a step back or a step down for their benefit. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, 11 through 13. "Christ gave up his life for that person. Wouldn't you be at least willing to give up something like going to dinner for him? Because as you say, it doesn't really make any difference. But it does make a difference if you hurt your friend terribly, risking his eternal ruin. When you hurt your friend, you hurt Christ. A free meal here and there isn't worth it at the cost of even one of these weak ones. So never go to these idle tainted meals if there's any chance you will trip up one of your brothers or sisters. We must care for their spiritual growth by adjusting ourselves for their sake. If a nice hotel that we stay at has a casino, and if that trips up anyone who is stumbling with gambling, then guess what? We don't stay there for their sake. This could be with the music we listen to, a movie with a certain rating we watch. If it affects a weaker or younger Christian, we stop for their sake. Why? Because maturity in the Christian life is putting others first. It's living a life that is not just about ourselves, but about seeing and being concerned for others. Young Christians are called children in the Bible. James Baldwin said something profound about elders and children that can apply to parenting and even in the church. He said, "Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them." Paul is preaching that example in 1 Corinthians 8. He wants us to realize that it's others before ourselves, which is a sign of maturity. I remember as a teenager in church, someone telling me, "Tim, do you know what joy stands for? Jesus first, others second, you last." That still holds true today. If you want joy, put others before you put yourself.